But what I really hate is hypocrisy. Don't you? I really don't like hypocrisy. I have gone several times into classrooms at the public school and talk about Christianity, and we talk about what people think about Christians, and invariably what comes up is we don't like it that Christians are such hypocrites. They talk about love, they talk about these things, they talk about that, but they don't do what they talk about, and such a bad example of Jesus. I get it. So you know where I'm going to go, because I put this up on the screen, hypocrites all. It's like, and it's not Hippocrates all. We're not talking about philosophy today, as Mark Smith wanted me to say. Hey, you're going to pay me later. I mean, that's a reference to Hippocrates. It's that I am always doing things and excusing myself. It's that we always do things and excuse ourselves. It's I go to the store, okay. Safeway is going to get me. I go to the self-checkout. I go through. I only have a couple items, but I check it out with the self-checkout. I put it in the bag, and the question comes up, how many bags did you use? Have you ever chosen zero? I have, and walked out with my dangling bag. It's like 9 cents. Why am I stealing? I'm breaking the law. They could come get me. I'm disqualifying. I'm a hypocrite. I act like I'm all up and up, but there are things that I do that aren't quite right. I excuse myself. I give myself excuses, you know, really. They're just collecting that for someone else. It doesn't cost 8 cents. That's ridiculous. And that's a dumb example. There's more. I'm just saying that always, Swanson, me, it's worse than that, though, because if you poke me, I start to get defensive. I get defensive around my hypocrisy. And so today, our hope is as you come into the gospel, as you see Christ, as we see where we're fighting the battle, it's not a battle about, boy, you need to be less hypocritical, because the problem is we are hypocrites all. The question is, where do you find your hope? When you're called on it, when people look at you, when you go into those places and you want to fight it, but instead, could you point somewhere else? Why might you do that? So that's what I want to talk to you about. We're in this amazing Gospel of Luke. We're in chapter 11. It's a chapter many people rush through, but we get to talk about people we don't like very much, the Pharisees and the lawyers. So that's what we're going to do. We're starting here in with foolishness. There's an R's, really. So chapter 11, we'll start in verse 37. It says this. While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So Jesus went in and he reclined at table, and the Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. Yeah, I think that's pretty gross too, Jesus. I mean, come on, you've been out in the street, you got dirty hands, time to wash. One of my kids would be like, leave the table probably, because he doesn't like dirt, germs. But this is not a statement about germs. This is a statement about the ritual cleansing you needed to do because you got dirty by being around unclean things. And if you came with ritual washing, you were saying, I'm purifying myself so I'm right and clean and ready to eat dinner. It's not a germ theory piece. It's a religious piece. And the Pharisee, he's like astonished. Jesus doesn't do this. You need a clean outside, don't you? You need to be cleansed. You need to be washed. And so why isn't Jesus doing this? And so he's thinking that. Actually, he doesn't say anything. Instead, Jesus says to him, and the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees, you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. Wow. Okay, so much for gentle Jesus. Something's just like, in his face, you Pharisees asking me to wash my hands. I was just like surprised you didn't, Jesus. And now Jesus is going after him. He's like, oh, you're full of greed and wickedness. That sounds like a lot bigger than just a want to wash your hands issue. Maybe he knows something about this particular guy. I don't know. It's really bad. If you're keeping score at home, it's like this is Jesus all of a sudden with a baseball bat. He's not done. You fools, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. See, the issue we want to make, oh, I get it. Okay, I need to be more focused on stuff inside. I need to focus more not on the outside things to do, but on the inside things to do. And that's not really all Jesus is saying. That's true. It's true. It's not about external obedience. And we get that. We're like, man, I need to obey from the heart. But that's the issue, really. The issue isn't clean up the inside, give what's inside, not what's outside. The issue is not do obedience. It's actually have the inner obedience there. Give from the heart. Sounds good. I like it. I totally get it. That's kind of how we've taken the Pharisees a lot. We've taken the Pharisees as sort of these people. They did these things that didn't matter. They put extra little laws out there. They did stuff to like hedge the law of God. They didn't actually do the heart of the law of God. And here's Jesus. He comes in and he says to the Pharisees, he says, hey, you know what you really need to do is you need to obey from the inside. It's about your desires. It's about the things in you. And I go, yeah. Okay. There is a problem. Well, what's the problem? They're not doing it. That's the problem. Right? It says, but woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. It's not that it's bad to tithe of everything that you have. It's not that it's bad to make sure that your lines are all in a row. That's not a bad thing. The problem is the inside. Do them both. If that was your heart, really is. So if your heart is to say, man, I just, my passion is to give to God, and then you give to God in all these different little ways. Fabulous. That's so good. Jesus is not saying that's bad. What he's saying is that's not what you people are doing. You just want to give that people see. You're trying to do the outside stuff. Inside, you don't really want to. This is a big problem. That's where he's going after, right? The surface obedience. Man, you're speaking my language. Justice. Isn't that what I said? Justice is what we seek for. The love of God is what we're after. So now that's what this is what we do. Okay, hold that thought. Hold that thought. Finish with what he's really saying. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and the greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you're like unmarked graves and people walk over them without knowing it. I'm so glad you guys are here today. This is such a positive thing. It's so much fun. As Jesus lays into these evil Pharisees, they're such bad people. They're not doing things right. They're not doing things from the heart. They're not pursuing justice and love like we know you should pursue. And instead it says what they do is they love the best seats in the synagogues. They like to be affirmed. They like to be well thought of. They like the connections and the reputations. They're horrible. They don't love from the heart. They love themselves. And Jesus says they're like unmarked graves. What that means is, right, if you walked on a grave, you're ritually unclean immediately. You can't be around dead. But so like they're unmarked graves and people walk in them, they get unclean just by being around them and don't even know. Because they're being touched by this kind of religion where it's on the outside and it's about what you do outside and it's not about the heart and where your heart is. You make people unclean. This is a huge ouch, man. I'm like, these guys are terrible. And by the way, if you see any of these people, run. That's where my head goes. Stay away from these folks. Jesus doesn't like them. Because he says, what about the heart? What if you don't actually love? What if you don't actually long for justice? What if your inside's not clean? Then what are you and how is that good? Okay, I'm not going to be like them. I'm going to make sure I'm not like the Pharisees. I'm going to make sure my heart is in this. I'm going to make sure I love. I'm going to make sure that I am for justice. I'm not going to be for me. This is my pledge. I'm going to find Jonathan Edwards and be with him when he's in his teens and make these pledges. I'm going to be this way. I'm not going to be that way. My question is, how? How do you get this? How do you not be this? Because you're not want to be this, right? I just know we don't be like those guys, so we'll be like somebody else. No problem. So watch out for the Pharisees, and I'm ready to like make them a little group. We'll call them Big P, and we'll put them over here, and we'll go over here and be something different. And a little hand comes up. Jesus? This is the text. It says this. One of the lawyers, not a Pharisee, law expert. One of the lawyers said, teacher, in saying these things, you insult us too. Uh-oh. They're getting a point here. What is it? They're getting the idea. Jesus just said something that, if I'm honest, I don't know that my desires always match what I do either. Right? I mean, do your desires always match what you do? Do you do things with impure motives ever? Do you ever think, man, I really want that person to like me. I'll do this. I better come to church. I mean, I need to come to church, I guess. I'm really tired, but I guess I'll go. I don't really want to go today. He said, woe to you, lawyers, also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves don't touch the burdens with one of your fingers. This is not like putting extra regulations on people, like, you know, extra government regulations or something. You load people up with the need for obedience from the heart when you don't do it yourself. It is so easy to be a judge. I judge people all day long. You look at them and say, wow, they don't do very well. Wow, they ought to be doing something different. Yeah. Whoa, look at those people over there. You know, they shouldn't be that way. Okay, who's got the mirror? How are you acting? What are you doing? Are you acting holy unto the Lord all the time? And I don't mean with your actions. I don't mean I didn't murder anyone today. I don't even mean I didn't get angry with anyone today. I mean in your heart. Are you all the time saying, I live loving God with every breath? I read one of the verses. I pray without ceasing. I rejoice always. I never stop. There's not a breath I take in that I'm not just glad that I'm alive. I'm never sad at anything. How could I be? God has blessed me with life, and here I go. You're Mr. Optimist then, right? I'm starting to get a picture. He's mad at the lawyers too, because he's saying, you rank up the law, but the problem is you don't do the law. You're not giving any way out. There's no way out of the law. Your heart needs to be right. And your self-assessment of that is always wrong. I know you're going to be mad at me. My wife would be mad at me. Whenever we're in an argument, she says, Dax, you can't say never and always. She's right, except the law. She's always right. She's watching online today because our dog's dying. Dear, you're always right. Not me, though. I'm defensive. I get like, no, I... He says, woe to you. Look what he says about them. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses and you consent to the deeds of your fathers, for they killed them and you build their tombs. What he's saying is that, okay, here you are building, oh, you lawyers, you say, I'm being good under the law. What are they doing? I'm building the tomb of the prophets. So we all remember the great Jeremiah. We all remember the great Isaiah and the word of God that they spoke. And you should listen to the word of God. And they forget who killed Jeremiah. Who did in the prophets? Their dads. So actually what they're doing is building a memorial to how they stink. That's what they're doing. And yet they're acting like it's all good that they're doing. I'm being such a good person. I'm helping build the kingdom of God. Look at this amazing tomb that dedicates to this. And they forget that the reason why the guys in the tomb is that their fathers rejected God. If you got that, what would you be? How about on your knees crying? How about, oh man, I need mercy. Instead, the lawyers are not about mercy. This is not about mercy that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about, are you doing things for God? And how much are you doing? And are you doing enough? And you look at that and we start going, well, maybe listen, stop looking at me. What about them? Those people aren't doing enough. That person's not doing enough. If that person really loved Jesus, they would be doing this. And you start judging. You start applying the law everywhere. But you apply it everywhere but where? In your own heart. So here comes God. He has no problem like that. His heart is true, not twisted. And he looks at the Pharisees. And he looks at the law experts and he says, you're saying these things, but you don't do them. I know I want the answer to be, okay, now so start doing them. That's what I want the answer to be. And he's saying, no, you don't understand. Your very orientation, you think you're doing well and you're not doing well. You do this all the time, all day long. You think you're doing okay, but you're not doing okay. And I'm telling you who's going to speak out against you, he says. Therefore, the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. I tell you, yes. It will be required of this generation. Whoa. What's he saying? You know, sometimes we read something like that. We're just like, ah, it's just so big, Dax. What's he getting after? Here's what he's getting after. He's getting after, there is testimony upon testimony among testimony that you can't do enough, that God is not accepting your behavior, as good as you think your behavior is, and you killed those people. They came from the altar all the way in to the inside, which is where the relationship happened, right? All the blood of the animals spilled. How much blood? What was the blood of the animals for? To cover sin. And the prophet speaking to you, I know we don't live in this context. You're like, I don't really get this. I don't really care. You ought to care. Why? How's your heart? Are you willing to stand up and say, no, my heart's clean? And if your answer is yes in Christ, okay, yeah, we're getting there. I'm just talking about a self-evaluation without thinking theology at all. How are you doing? The best we all can do is to say we try. I hear the word. I hear the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. I hear it and I say, okay, I'm gonna do that as best I can. And I don't. That makes me a hypocrite. In as much as I say, I am, and yet I don't. Especially as I start to point the finger at other people, say they don't and they ought to. I might be right. It's just I got these four other fingers. And they're pointing back at me. And then we think other people don't see it in the world. We think people walking down the street don't see, man, you're telling people they ought to live this way and they got to get right with God and they got to do these right things and they better clean up. They better, you know, they're not doing that and I'm going to give them my opinion about what they ought to do. Okay, lawyer person. Lots of burdens. How do they do it? If what God's looking for is a heart, what God says has to be clean and true is a heart. There's a guy back a little while ago, you might have heard his name. His name was Aristotle. His idea was if you just would do it long enough, then you could become the heart of the thing. So if you like, you get a big plate. In my case, it'd probably be overcooked asparagus, because that's evil. And you could overcooked asparagus. You say, Dax, eat it. And I say, I hate that stuff. But if you would force yourself to eat it, day one, you'd still hate it. Day two, you'd still hate it. Day 25, it tastes a little bit crummy. And by day 57, that's a special day, 57, you start to love it because your heart would change. That's Aristotle, that habit changes the heart. Guys like named Luther came along and said, that is so not true. He was essentially saying, I will always hate asparagus. And he was righteous. No, I'm joking. It's not about the asparagus. It's about the reality that actually habit doesn't form the heart. You still have this thing in you that says, someone's making me eat asparagus. I'll eat it because I have to, but I will never like asparagus. And your whole life long, you could go along that way. Oh, by the way, asparagus, I'm giving it a bad name. If you cook it rightly and it's for al dente or whatever, I get it. Lots of butter. You get what I'm saying, though? If the idea is I need to have a heart, how do I get to have the heart? And the idea becomes, maybe if I do something long enough, then I will develop the heart. And that is not true anywhere. The Bible doesn't say that. Medicine kind of says that, you know, practice, we call it. I had a medical practice. I practiced on people. Hopefully over time, I got better at it. That's not the Bible. That's the world. So what are you going to do? He says loading this up and he's laying it on them to say, actually, you know, you've never given anyone a way out. You lay all these regulations about what God requires and then you push people to do it. And even you say, okay, yes, you're going to do it. Maybe your heart's not quite there, but you just do these things. That's what you do. That's the idea. Woe to you, lawyers, you have taken away the key of knowledge. You didn't enter yourselves, you've hindered those who are entering. There's a key. Just laying regulation upon regulation on people doesn't do a thing. Doesn't help them. It may help them see, hopefully, if they're honest and you have the key of knowledge, you have, oh, wait a minute, I'm not doing it. I'm not being who the Lord requires me to be. If that was their purpose, but it wasn't their purpose. Their purpose was actually to be right with God. Do these things. Wow. I know the key. The key is Christ for us. It's the way out of these things. It's God for me. It's a new heart that comes from Christ. It's everything that's going to be good and right and true that's outside of me that comes to me. But Jesus is speaking to people who don't get that. And honestly, we sometimes act that we don't get that because we act like hypocrites. We, you and me, lack like these guys. We act like the reality is what God wants is a set of behaviors. We act like, really, I know that activity is sin, so you got to stop that sin. And if you just stop it, we could prevent you from it. We could shackle your arms so you don't steal. That somehow that would be better for you before God. This ought to make me really afraid. I ought to be afraid. Because I live so much here. I live so much in building up myself and thinking I'm doing okay and taking down other people that I can see using the law, they're not okay. And I become a hypocrite, a hidden hypocrite, because no one actually sees my heart, you know. I can have thoughts. And as long as I act okay, as long as I can be very careful with my words and try and keep my mouth shut, people don't really know what I'm thinking. You're this way too. You shade what you say because you want other people to take you a certain way. The fact that we all do this should make us very afraid. Right? Fear. I don't mean to hammer on such negative things, but that's what Jesus is doing. He's looking at us. He's looking at the Pharisees and the lawyers and even the people. In the meantime, so many thousands of people gathered, tons of people gathering around Jesus to hear and see this wonder worker. And they were trampling one another. And Jesus began to say to his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is legalism. No, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So often what we do is we kick the Pharisees into the legalistic camp. I've made the P camp over here, the legalistic camp. It's not legalism. It's hypocrisy. Because they're acting like this is what you do and this is what we do. We do it all. Look at us, good Christians. Look at us, good Jews. Look at us, good God followers. And then what they mean is the doing of the law. By the way, don't you think that's what God wants? For you to do the law? Don't you think that that's the idea? I get it, Dax, but my goal is to see. No, the difficulty is this. I keep dancing around it. How do I get it so we see it? I get it, Dax. You've said it enough. No. Here's the trouble. The trouble is, do you think God looks at your actions and it's like, oh yeah, he's trying hard? Or do you think God looks at your heart and knows whether you're trying hard? Do you think God needs to interpret, like me, I need to interpret. When you do something, I have to interpret what it means to me. Like when my kid comes and says, Dad, I clean my room. I have to interpret, did she do that because she loves me and she knows that I love her room to be clean? Did she do it because, you know, there was a dead rat in the corner and it was smelling, so she needed to clean it up? Why did she do the thing? Or did she do it because she thought I needed to in order to maintain standing with my dad? I don't know why, but you know who does know why? Why do you do what you do? You guys, think about it. This is your life. Why do you do the things that you do? And that's what he's talking about. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you've said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you've whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops and say, oh, this is not how I live. I don't live like everybody knows everything about me. I don't like that idea at all because I don't trust you. I don't want you to know everything about me. I don't really care. I'm kind of an open book, honestly, for me. Some people say I don't have enough of a filter. But we all have things we don't share with everybody. We have motivations. We have things we say. We have things we do. We don't like it, right? And Jesus is going, I tell you, my friends, he says, don't fear those who kill the body. Like somehow we're afraid. Someone's going to overhear a conversation and be mad at me. Don't fear that, Jesus says. And after that, they have nothing more they can do. I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. I tell you, fear him. Okay, Dax, this is sounding a lot like a fire and brimstone message. What in the world? This is Grace Church Bellingham. Yes. The problem that we all have is that we think that grace is not sheer mercy from God. We think that grace is God's enablement for me to start doing the right things because what God's after is me to do. And so even what I need to start doing is I need to start doing the things now. Whatever the issues are, whatever the behaviors are, whatever is the acts of love, the acts of justice, the being involved, the things I'm doing for God. And I start saying, that's the thing. And Jesus comes along, you know what? You should be really afraid because God's not looking at the things. God's not looking at you doing them. God's looking at your heart. Do you think it's better somehow that you say, okay, I really don't like getting up to read my Bible, but I did it because God requires it? You think God is more impressed that you didn't want to spend time with him, but you did it for some reason, like you think he's mean and is going to get you if you didn't read your Bible? Than if you said, oh, I know my God's a gracious God and I'm sleepy. I'm going to sleep today. Thanks, Lord. And he knew your heart was to rest? Which one speaks to God? Which one speaks to a relationship with God who's your dad? Well, I've got to do this or he'll be angry with me. I should do this, and so I'm going to, even though I don't want to. Or I'm going to do what I am because God sees my heart already. Because the other two act like God doesn't actually see your heart. You get what I'm getting at? I feel like I'm beating it with a stick, but there you go. It's like to have no spin on your life, to actually be who you are, because your relationship's not grounded in getting to God, but in the reality that God came to you. This is our message. This is what Jesus is going after. He's gone after these Pharisees over and over. He's going after this. Look what he says. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You're more valuable than many sparrows. So this is the ticket, you guys. This is what's happening. Jesus comes and he says, you can't be hypocrites. It doesn't help you to be a hypocrite. It doesn't help you to clean up the outside, to work on being outside. And it doesn't help you to say, well, I'm going to get the heart inside first and then do the outside like somehow it is, because you don't have that heart. Instead, your hope's going to be is realizing you're valued by God. In the midst of your sin, in the midst of you not doing what you should do, in the midst of you actually not being the perfect person that you think somehow Christians are supposed to show the world, but you're yourself because you know I'm valued by the King. That drives my life. How do I know I'm valued by the King? Well, because he gives me good things. Sure, that's not the answer. Well, because if I pray really hard, he'll give me something. No, that's not the answer. How do I know I'm valued by the King? Because Jesus Christ says so. And he died for me. And he died for you. This starts to mark your life. I can actually be who I am. I'm not afraid of you and showing that. That's the idea. That's the piece right there. And Jesus even says it. I don't have time. I just want to give you the flavor so we land on it. We're going to land right here in hope. I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men, denied before the angels of God. This is massive. Because it's the way out. If you're with me and you're here today, you say, okay, I get it, Dax. Let's understand what he has said, because it's a heavy message. And I want to say it's just to these bad Pharisees. It's just to these bad lawyers, but it's not. It's a condemnation of hypocrisy in every form. And I look at the mirror, and before you and before God, I know you may have a different opinion of yourself, but I know every person I've ever met is a hypocrite. They do not say, they do not act exactly as their heart is, because they're shaped by the expectations of what they think they need to do. And Jesus goes after these people who make those expectations. He goes after these people who use the law to make them and give people this idea that if you do them, God's happy with you. And he's not. Hypocrisy doesn't work, because God doesn't look at your actions. He sees your heart. And if he's seeing your heart, I have no hope. I have no hope in myself. And if that's where your fight's going to be, you're going to start fighting your own hypocrisy and saying, I'm defensive. No, Dax. I'm actually doing okay. No, Dax. I'm doing better than other people. No, Dax. I'm doing the very best I can, and my heart's getting better. And your fight's going to be on whether or not you're a hypocrite. And I feel like you've already lost, because you are in your flesh. Your only hope actually is going to be that there's a way out, that there's someone who values you as you are. In the midst of your failures and sin, there's somebody who died for you, whose blood makes you clean, who says, I will give you a new heart. And it's not going to be by you getting strong. It's going to be by weakness. It's actually going to be through your death. But in the reality, it's your hope that there's an escape where there is no hope, that Jesus brings hope. So that's our message today. It's a heavy message, because Jesus is heavy. Would you accept with me that we're hypocrites? That's not good. I'm not saying keep being a hypocrite. I'm just saying it's an observation. And so when you get there and you say, yeah, I am, but I've got a hope. And that hope opens the door to me being true to who I am. Because I'm valued by the King. I'm cleansed by him, and I can stand because Jesus Christ covers me. And he covers you too. And that's great news. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for what you've done. Thanks for the wonder of you for us. And Lord, such heavy words. Father, help us to actually receive the way out. Help us to wonder in the gift we've been given of your Son. And Lord, we do. We thank you for forgiveness and freedom in Christ. In your name, amen.